Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, brothers and sisters, this is Archbishop Thomas Henry. I haven't been in a Blog Talk Radio program in a very long time, and I decided that it was time to do one again to make use of this medium. I still have a lot of people who actually check out my Blog Talk and actually listen to many of the previous broadcasts that we have had and hosted on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you so much for all of you that have tuned in and continue to listen to our various programs that we have on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I want to for a few moments highlight a new book that I've written called Apostolos, The Making of an Apostle. Apostolos, The Making of an Apostle. And I want to highlight that for a few moments. I want to deal with that for a few moments. And so you can know what's in the book. And the Lord's willing, you can get the book and you can support what we are doing. Our ministry here at the Congress of Apostles and Bishops, my personal ministry at Thomas Henry Ministries, the ACC, and everything that we do. We do a lot of things. We are not just a self-serving ministry organization that's just top-heavy, so to speak, but we are about investing in the kingdom of God, investing in the people of God, and what have you. So I wrote a book because there's so much confusion on the office, the ministry, and the work of an apostle. Many people use this particular office as the pinnacle of leadership in the church. They use it to try to make themselves better than bishops and better than other leaders in the church. They make it seem like, you know, they haven't arrived until they became an apostle. And most of the people have most of these people don't have a correct understanding of the office and ministry and work of an apostle. And we thought it not robbery to take the time to bring some clarity to the body of Christ as it relates to the office and ministry of an apostle. A lot of people have a problem with this because of some faulty teaching. And I'm the first one to say it is faulty teaching. Because they do something that the Bible does not do. One of the things, and I mention this a lot with the Congress, and I think I did on a lot of the blog talks, radio programs previously that I've done, is this word anachronism. And what happened is we attribute a situation, an act, or a way of doing things that to a time and a period that it does not belong. And most of the people, when they look at the office and the ministry and the work of an apostle, they tend to view it through their eyes, the way they see it today, the way they are taught about it today. They do not view it and see it through the eyes of how the first century saw it, and the second century saw it, and the third century saw it. They view it through their eyes today. They do what we call a theological study instead of a historical biblical study. You know, when you think about a theological study, you take a concept, and you don't necessarily go to see if the concept is in the Bible, but you start and you develop the concept. You may reflect back on Scripture to see if there's any ties, but you don't necessarily need Scripture to support a theological concept. Whereas a biblical concept, you definitely need a Scripture, because you cannot have biblical studies and biblical hermeneutics without the Bible. Whereas you can have a theological study without the Bible. And so what happened is most people look at the apostle from a theological point of view, and they never look at it from a historical and biblical point of view. And so this is really why we wrote the book Apostle, because we want people to take a more biblical and historical view of this particular subject matter. And so the book is called Apostolos. I think it's a great book. I think it is a great read. I think that this book will be a blessing to you as you open up your minds and open up your hearts to understand this particular ministry that God has placed in his body. And I pray that you will have an open mind when you read the book. The book is written in an easy-to-read format. The book is written so that you can understand it, so that whether you're a young kid or an adult, whether you are a Bible learner or a theologian, it's written so that you can understand what is written in the pages of this book. You can understand what I've said, how I said it, and why I said it. And so what I'm going to do, once my file open up here, I'm going to actually go through, talk about some of the things that's in this particular book. Again, the book is called Apostolos, The Making of an Apostle, by me. I don't list myself by my archbishop title in this book. I list myself simply as Apostle Thomas Henry Jr. because originally during my consecration as bishop in the Lord's Church, I was consecrated and ordained as a bishop and an apostle in the Lord's Church. Okay, chapter 1 is the introduction to the book, and it's simply called Apostolos, where we talk about the ministry, the definition of the word from a biblical point of view, from a historical point of view. We tell you when the word was first used, who used it first, and who is recorded as using this word first. The word apostolos is not a Latin word, but it's a Greek word. We talk about the ordination of an apostle. We look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. We also look at Acts chapter 1. We talk about whether it's a fourfold ministry or a fivefold ministry. We look at the Greek principle that we use in this as we look at this, and we came to the conclusion that it is not a fivefold, as many people teach, but it's a fourfold. We talk about the bishop being the pastor teacher. The word pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, is a transliterated word. It is literally spelled word for word like it is spelled in Latin. The word actually in Ephesians chapter 4 should be shepherd. And that's why one reason why, if you really look at it, it should actually say teaching shepherd. It should be a hyphenated word because the word some, tuos, T-O-U-S, is not before the word teacher. It's only before the word pastor. And the word pastor and teacher are connected by the word chi. And we go through and we talk about that in the book, why the word shepherd and the word teacher, the daskalos and poimen, should be connected and should be one ministry, the teaching shepherd. And the only teaching shepherd, because notice, there's nobody in Scripture. I challenge anybody in this text, because most people even misinterpret Jeremiah 3 and 15 when God said, I give you pastors after my own heart. This word pastor there does not talk about the pastor of a church. Matter of fact, if you read the context, he's talking about those leaders in the nation, from the kings to the Sanhedrin to the governmental leaders to the priestly leaders. It's not talking about the pastor of your local congregation. Though many of you take it and preach it like that, but that's not the context of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. So what Jeremiah 3 and 15 talks about and what Ephesians 4 and 11 talk about are two different things. There's nobody in Scripture referred to as pastor this or pastor that. But we do see in Scripture where a man is sent to this particular city as bishop of this city, as bishop of that city, a bishop of this, a bishop. Why? Because it is the bishop that is not just, as some people posit, a governmental office. The bishop is ascension office. Yes, it is. I don't care what any of your teachers teach you. I challenge them because, historically speaking, the elder that teaches is called the bishop. The elder of the local church that teaches is called the bishop. The Presbyterians have it right in the sense that there are two elders in the church, just like in the local Jewish synagogue, there was two elders. There was a rabbi, the teaching elder, and there was the ruling elders in the synagogue called the elders. In the church, mirror after the synagogue, there is the teaching elder, which is the bishop, the pastor of the local church. And then there is the ruling elders. Later on, historically, we talk about that in the book. Historically, we do it briefly, though. Historically, the bishops began to, between 150 and 250, and began to delegate out their authority to preside and preach to their presbyters in their churches, thereby giving the elders, who was just rulers, just like Romans chapter 12, verse 8 says, and just like 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, and just rulers, and made them also teaching elders. And this is what has evolved into the elders that lead your local assemblies. Some of you think that your elders have just as much authority as the bishops, but historically speaking, that's not correct. That is not correct. You don't think because see, this is what messes up a lot of people. They think because my pastor is pastor of the church, even though he's an elder, he's essential, while my bishop is governmental. That's not the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible lists the bishop as the teaching elder. That's the bishop is what Peter is referring to in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. The bishop, we know it's the bishop because Paul tells Titus this in Titus. Go and ever sit and make elders because the bishop, he says. And he calls them elders bishops. These bishops are the pastors of the church. They are the pastors mentioned in Ephesians 4 and 11. This is why there is major confusion among people today about what do apostles do? Do we need apostles because we've got bishops? And most of our Pentecostal folks really ignore history because most of them are chasing after ranking and positions and authority. Some of them don't even have any self-worth. And so they chase after these positions just to be great in their eyes and supposedly great in other people's eyes. Ministry is not about serving for them. It is about being great. And being an apostle is not about being great. It is about serving. And we talk about this in the book. We talk about the purpose of the ministries found in Ephesians 4 and 11 and why there must still be a prophet in the church and there must still be an apostle in the church. Matter of fact, Paul says something that's interesting that most of you probably gloss over when you read the Bible. Paul said that I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Interesting, isn't it? Now, we know Paul was never specifically, ordained a preacher. But what was he ordained? He was ordained a prophet. That means that if you are a prophet, you are a preacher. Interesting, isn't it? That shows you a lot of times people bring concepts today into the church, into the understanding. Nothing wrong with your ecclesial theology, as long as you know what the Bible actually says in light of your ecclesial theology. Can I say it again? It's nothing wrong with you having your specific ecclesial theology, as long as you know what the Bible says in light of your ecclesial theology, because sometimes your ecclesial theology does not match biblical theology. Lord, have mercy. I'm preaching already. And so that's something I want you to keep in mind and think about as we progress through this particular Blog Talk program today. One other thing here, and we also talk about all of this, what I'm talking about, the fourfold, the purpose of the ministries, Ephesians 4:11, the scope of that ministry, the ordination in Scripture. We even talk about ordination in Scripture because a lot of people, they posit this thing called holy orders. Holy orders. And the unique thing about holy orders is that holy orders is not found in Scripture. It's a part of our ecclesial theology. And remember what I said, is nothing wrong with ecclesial theology, as long as you understand what the biblical theology is as relates to the ministries in the church. And once you know that, then you can have a synthesis, because the biblical theology is the thesis. Your ecclesial theology is the antithesis. And then then there need to be a synthesis between what the Bible says and what your practice is, so that you can make your practice meet what the Bible says and still use your particular titles you use and what have you, so to speak. And so this is so interesting. So we talk about that. Well, holy orders is not found, because the word ordo, ordinaire, these words are not found in this Bible. Yes, I know some of you going to say, well, in my English Bible, the word ordination is there. Yes, the word ordination is in your English Bible. Ah, but you see, if you knew the Greek and the Hebrew, you would notice that in the Greek and the Hebrew, there is no Greek word in the Bible for ordain. There is no Hebrew word in the Bible ordain, but there are Hebrew words and Greek words that we translate into English as ordain. But the word ordain is the ordain, ordination, ordo are Latin words. Can I say it again? They are Latin words. The word ordain literally means to order and to rank. That's not in Scripture. We put it in Scripture because in the English, we translate about 21 to 23 different words as ordain, ordination, order, establish, appoint. We translate these words as ordination. The word ordination means to rank, to order. But that is not found in the Bible. Where, as it relates to ministry, is not found in the Scriptures. I can challenge anyone today that want to try to correct me on that. And I promise you, it ain't there. No matter how much you try to make it there, it's not there. Holy orders is not there. It's a part, watch this, it's part of our ecclesial theology. Good God from Zion. It's a part of our ecclesial theology, but it's not a part of our. It's not a part of our biblical theology. So that's one reason why you need to get this book. You need to get this book called Apostolos so you can see what the Bible actually says. I know some of your major teachers on the apostolic don't talk about this because most of them are trying to push an agenda that is what we call anti-Roman Catholic. And they go and rape the Bible. I know that's a forceful word there. They rape the Bible of some of its meaning to posit what they believe should be correctly done in the church. You know, a lot of us preach good stuff. We say good things, but a lot of things we say are not hermeneutically and biblically sound and correct. And that's why I implore you to go back and get your Bibles. Look at your Bibles and compare what the Bible says to what some of these apostles and people have taught you, because maybe what they have taught you may not line up with what the Bible actually says. It may not line up. It may not. Can I say it again? It just may not line up with what the Bible actually says. So, and I know I'm coming at this strong because I am so sick of a lot of this error as it relates to biblical ministry and all that. And I know sometimes when you question people's belief system, cognizant dissidence shows up in their life. Confirmation bias take front seat, and they will wholeheartedly reject truth for their comforting error that they have been taught. And the Bible comes to really challenge us sometime, and not just sometime, all the time, because Jesus said, I didn't just come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Most people don't talk about that part of the Bible. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, I come to bring a sword. And the Bible says that the word of God will cut to the joint and the marrow of the bone. It's a two-edged sword. Some people don't forget that little analogy about Scripture. But when you preach the truth of Scripture, sometimes you have to combat the error that people have and that the error that people have been taught as relates to ministry. And so another chapter we deal with in this book is called The Fruit. And note I said the fruit singular of apostleship. The fruit singular of apostleship. And in that particular chapter, we also talk about the seal of the apostleship. Great chapter. You need to read that. You need to read that because they talk about Paul validates. He calls one thing the fruit of his apostleship. He didn't call signs and wonders the fruits of his apostleship. He didn't call writing scripture the fruit of his apostleship. No. He called one thing the fruit of his apostleship. And we talk about that. We give you the scripture context to it. We show it to you in this particular book. Paul talks about in the Bible, he calls apostles, especially those apostles who had an overseeing type ministry. He said that they were spiritual parents and not lords. Chapter 4 talks about that. Spiritual parents and not lords. We are called to be spiritual parents to the people of God. We are not called to lord it over God's people. Yet, a lot of people treat the ministry of the apostles like they are lords in God's house. That they are lords. You can't bat an eye unless you got your apostle permission. You can't holler unless you got your apostle's permission. But true apostles are parents. True apostles are parents. I know there's a lot of people today who are talking about, I'm your spiritual mother. I'm your spiritual father. And you need to reverence me as such. But everybody that calls themselves an apple, just like everything that says an orange, an orange. And just because you said you are somebody's spiritual parent does not make you somebody's spiritual parent. And so we talk about this. Paul mentions that part of his relationship with the churches that he covered, with the churches that he founded, was that he said, I'm not the Lord's over these churches. But Paul said, I am the parent over these churches. That's a different type of ministry. Matter of fact, as it relates to those ministries that are part of the Apostolic Communion of Churches, I do my best not to act as a lord, even though I could stress my authority. Paul even said the same thing. Paul said, if I need to, I could wield my authority as an apostle. But he most of the time chose not to demand obedience, but to earn their obedience by being parents and fathers to them folks in the faith. Chapter 5, we talk about the characteristics of an apostle. Those various things, because one of the things that is a stumbling block to many as it relates to apostle is they have to see Jesus. But I talk about that in this book. Because if seeing Jesus physically is what it is, what like many people posit, that means even Paul could not have been apostle because he didn't see Jesus spiritually. He said, I saw Jesus spiritually. Yes, he did. That's what he said. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And so this thing here about seeing Jesus, many people misconstrue. And I submit, my brothers and sisters, that this point about seeing Jesus is simply the call to ministry. That's what it is, nothing more and nothing less. If you say you have been called by God, then describe your call experience, because every apostle had a called experience. Every apostle was called by Christ. And every preacher today should be called by Christ, their called experience. Every one of us should have a unique called experience. God may call you different ways than he called me, but the point is all of us should have a unique call experience. My experience came when I was around 15 or 16. I was young. I lay on my bed and I had this vision where God showed me my life, showed me a panoramic view of my life, and told me what I was going to be and that he was calling me to his service. Hello, I didn't go into ministry until a few years later in 1989, October 1989, but when I was around that age of 15 or 16, I had a vision. I had a vision that kept coming back to me. First time it came was when I was laying down, resting. And it kept coming, it kept coming, it kept coming. I even heard him audibly call me, beckon for me. So all of us have a unique call experience. We talk about that in Scripture. We talk about the types of apostles in Scripture. We even asked the question in chapter 6, were there 12 apostles, were there 13, were there 14, or were there more? Because some people try to limit there to 12, some try to say 13 and discount some to include Matthias in there, some said 14. Some says, I am one of those that said there's more. And we talk about the apostle versus the messenger, because many people try to underestimate many of those in Scripture that the Bible actually call apostolos. And some people like the apostoloi. But they forget that apostoloi is plural for apostolos. Anyway, that's in the book. You got to get the book. You got to get the book. My brothers and sisters, you got to get the book. In chapter 7, we deal with chapter 7, are there women's apostles? We talk about this. We talked about in chapter 7, Paul included women in the teaching leadership gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. We talk about briefly what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 34 and 35. We talk about that briefly in this particular thing. But does Paul include women as apostles in the ministries? We know there was women prophets because we know that we see that in the book of Acts. We know that there are women apostles because we see that as well in Scripture. We talk about this in chapter 7. Chapter 8, we give a brief historical sketch of how the title comes back into usage in the church. And the title of apostles come back into usage. In chapter 8, we also talk about the errors espoused by modern apostolic leadership. Errors that are espoused by modern apostolic leadership. We also talk about the apostleship in its proper context today, as well as give a few of our references that we use. We didn't give all of them. We just gave a few of our references that we use in developing this book. About 100 pages. So I want to encourage you to get the book. The book on Amazon CreateSpace is $11.99. If you want to go on Kindle and get the book, you can download the book on Kindle for $9.99. And get this book, as well as there is a Square store that is listed on my Facebook page that you can actually go on that Square store and you can buy it directly from us, and we can send it out to you within 7 to 14 days. It's going to take about 7 days or so, but maybe less. Depends on when you order the book. If you get the book now, you can probably get it a lot quicker. If you wait till closer to the 4th of July, it's going to take about a little longer to get it from the publisher to you. But anyways, we would love to put this book in your hand. We would love to get this book into your life so we can actually correct some of the false teaching. And hopefully when you read this book, you will divorce yourself from the teaching that you have already been taught about the apostle, about the office and the ministry and the work of an apostle, and you will be able to clearly see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through me in this book to help you understand the office, the ministry, and the work of an apostle in the Lord's church. Amen. So I gave you a brief sketch of what this book is about. It's about 100 pages. I hope it's going to bless you. I hope it's going to bless your ministry. I hope it's going to bless your concept of what the apostle is. Because a lot of people say, I'm an apostle. But apostle what? Of what? Because to be an apostle, you got to be sent. Just like the bishop, he has to be sent. The prophet has to be sent. The pastor teacher has to be sent. The evangelist has to be sent. But the problem is, what's your mission? Because Paul, as an apostle, went on missionary journeys. So some of you say, I ain't no missionary, I'm an apostle. Well, the devil is a lie, because you don't know what the meaning of apostle is. So what is your mission? I got about 90 seconds here, so let's wrap this thing up. Because I want you to get this book. I want this book to clear up some false teaching that you have been taught on the apostle. I know I'm making some bold statements here, but I got to, because I'm trying to challenge your thinking. I'm trying to challenge what you've been taught to help you get on the right footing in the right place in the body of Christ. Because when you look at this office, you won't look at this office and say, I'm the big dog because I'm the apostle. No, don't sit down somewhere. Have about 5 or 6 seats. Because you ain't big. You some small-minded person that think you're going to get an office that's going to make you big in the church, and you don't even have a servant mentality. We ain't even supposed to promote people like you if you don't have a servant mentality. You can take that to the bank. A lot of times the Bible says this, that we wind up with promoting people who are not seeking the office, but people that God actually called to the office, the church would be in a much better place. Hello, somebody. Can I say that again? Y'all can quote me on this on folks' Facebook. We start promoting people that are seeking the office and start promoting people who are actually called to office, the church will be in a much better place. God bless you. I'm Archbishop Thomas Henry, Chief Apostle of the Apostolic Communion of Churches, Archbishop Primus of the Congress of Apostles and Bishops, and you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. Go tell somebody we're back. We're going to be doing some blog talks again to talk about what God got going on among us. You have a great, wonderful day.